We're continuing to go through spiritual gifts. I will get it right. That's better. Not too silly. Spiritual gifts. That's what we're going to go through. So we're going to go through them, but we're in the book of Romans. So Romans chapter 12. It talks about gifts here as well. So we've covered the ones in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which everybody seems to go to. There's gifts there, but there's also gifts here for the body. Romans chapter 12. Pass that big gun. The book of Romans in chapter 12. We'll read through verse 1 and on. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord God, for who you are and what you've done. I thank you for your mercy, your love and your sacrifice, my Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for having the privilege once again of being here, my God, that I can share your word, my God, to your church, my Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, for it. I pray, my Lord God, that you give me the word to say, the attitude to say in my Lord, that we would receive it, my Lord. I pray and I ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, if you want to challenge and change our lives in this place, I pray, my God, that you would help us to be accepting of your word and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. So, at least, I would say at least two or three times a year that you would hear this preached in a church or given mention to. It's probably me that's doing it all the time anyway, going over the same stuff, but chapter 12. So when you read the book of Romans, he's talking to them how to get saved. This is what you do. Now you how you get saved. This is what salvation is. Romans, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. That's found in the book of Romans. And we see that when you get to chapter 12, he's talking to us like we're Christians. Now this is the service. Now you're a Christian, this is what you've got to live like, this is what you've got to do. So he says, therefore I urge you, brethren. And again, that word urge, it meant beseech you, it meant I beg you, I plead with you, church. So he's saying this again, therefore I urge you, I plead with you strongly. Please listen to what I'm saying. This is what Paul is saying, he's writing this. Therefore I urge you, brethren, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, his pleasing and perfect will. So, first of all, he's giving you the run-through of, now that you're a Christian, don't conform to the pattern of this world. What this world's got for you, what the world looks like, what the world's doing. And what that means is what people are doing who's unsaved. Non-Christians, how they're living, how they're acting and what they're living for. Most unsaved people live for this world, don't they? What they can get out of it, what they can gain out of it. We're told to set our eyes on things above. Seek first God and his kingdom. That's what we're told. And many of us beforehand, we sought first our kingdom, what we wanted, where we wanted to go, what we wanted to do. And now we have a change of mind. So we're not conforming to the pattern of this world, but we're transformed by what we think different. It's now we think different. Now we're Christians, we should think about how does that affect God? What about God in my life? What does God will for my life? What does God want for my life? I like it when it says, but in another verse it says, well, in this another version it says, this is your reasonable act of worship. It means that it wasn't too high. God never set the standard up here. He just said, this is your reasonable act. This is something that you can do to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It goes on to say, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Every Christian wants to know what God's will is in their life, or should do. So in verse 3 it goes, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think of yourself more highly than he ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you. So it says here, for the grace of God that's been given, I say to everyone, not to think of yourself too highly than you ought. Now, pride is a terrible, terrible thing, and we all suffer with it. Not an amen here. Oh, you bought a prideful bunch of people, you are. We ain't talking about me. You know the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above everything else? You know what this is? Do you know what we do? We deflect. Oh, if he'd have been here and heard that, it'd been a good message for him. God didn't want him to be here, he wanted you to be here. Did you listen to it? It's for you. So the heart is deceitful. It teaches us to deflect it. Oh, it means it's talking about someone else. It should be there for somebody else. It's for somebody else. It's not for me. Come on. Don't allow your heart to do that to your own life. Let the word of God speak to you and let this speak. That every person here shouldn't feel themselves more highly than they ought. I want to tell you, every person in here, every born-again believer in here, what background and where you come from, there shouldn't be not one person that you wouldn't even drink from in this place. I want you to think about what I've just said. There shouldn't be not one person that you wouldn't eat and drink from in this place. Why wouldn't you though? If you wouldn't, it's because your pride. That's what that is. We should not think of ourselves too highly. This is what Paul is saying. Most problems come from people's pride. He said this, she said that. Are we not all just servants of God? Are we not all just God's children? If you remember that you're a servant and then you've got a master, it just puts you in your right place. Your rightful place is that God, yes, we are God's children. From God looking to me, I'm his child. But for me looking to God, I call him my master. Adonai, that's what the word meant. It meant Lord, it meant master. And that's what I can say, Adonai, he's mine. I want to serve him. And if we're in service to the Lord, then we can't think of ourselves more highly than we should. There is nobody here that Jesus Christ paid more drops of blood for. The exact same price for you was for me. No different. So there shouldn't be anybody in here who feels that they're a little bit better than somebody else. You shouldn't. No matter what your background is or where you come from, you should not feel that you're better than anybody else. That's a terrible thing if that's in the church. A terrible thing. In fact, it's sickly. In fact, it destroys churches. Because you get groups. People wouldn't mix with that group because they feel that they know more, they're a bit better, or they've got a bit more in pocket than that person. Why would you if you make someone feel stupid for what they've got? Why would you? Let God judge you for that. Because you'll be mixing with a group of people and you feel like you've got nothing. That'll happen to you. Don't let anybody think themselves more highly than they ought to. Have a level thinking. Have a level mind. If you go back a few generations, we was all from the same field, same doing exactly the same things. But this is something that will kill a church. And this is what Paul's saying. Do not allow this in. Let everybody be sober judgment. You know that word sober judgment? It meant right thoughts, right thinking. That you're thinking about things in a right manner. So we have to think of ourselves in a right manner. Each of you, verse 4, each of you, for just as each of you of us, one body, I'm going to read this again. For just each of you, I didn't get that. For just as each of us as one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we though many from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace been given to each of us. And I want to just stop there for a second. So Paul is lining it up to say now, the church is one body. The head of the church is Christ. And then he sets it all up. He sets it all in tune, if you like. And when a church is functioning properly, every person in the church has a functioning part to play. Every one of us. Now, the older you get, you realise how true a statement that this is. Because you think you can walk all right, until you hurt your knee. And when you hurt your knee, the rest of your body is in pain because you can't even walk properly. You can't get up, you can't get down. Who's ever pulled their back out? Been to work, you've pulled your back out. It's only your back, it's not your hands, it's not your arms, but the rest of your body struggles. The rest of your body struggles. You know when you've got a cold and you're all bunged up? The rest of your body struggles. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, as a church, he says this again in Corinthians. He says it even more deeply there. He says, are we all upset because we have an eye in our head but it wants to be an ear? What's going on? Are we arguing amongst one another because we haven't got... Do the job that God has called you to do and function in that job that God has called you to do. In a minute he goes on and I'll give you the reasons why. But the fact is that he tells us that we're just one body. And that means that every one of us must have a function in the body. We have a job to play. Now whether that's praying and seeking God's face, praying for the church, maybe you're going to do more ministry to the people than anybody else in here. And that might be because you're going to be someone who's going to be continually in prayer for our church. That might not be seen, but that's a valuable part of this church. Maybe you are going to be somebody to witness to others. Maybe you are going to be somebody to encourage others. Whatever your role is, whatever that job is, you have to function in that job. Brothers and sisters, how good is it to think that you're a part of something? Do you know when you feel like you're not a part of something? You walk into a place and you don't have a place, you don't even know where to sit. It's a terrible place to be. How many of you have gone to a strange church and felt like, I wouldn't say you're not welcome, but you felt awkward in that position in there? Well, sometimes it's because you ain't functioning. You're not doing a role there. You're not greeting somebody. You're not being happy. You're not talking to somebody in love or kindness. And we have a role to play in the church because we are all a part of a functioning body. Says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift, it goes on now to talk about the gifts in verse 6, it says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. So we went over that, I think, was it Joseph's done that? It was Joseph last time, wasn't it? Yes. He done about prophesying, it meant to proclaim. That gift is a gift for the church. That is a gift that it doesn't have to be future tense. It doesn't mean to say if someone's prophesying, they're talking about the future. Elijah was a prophet, but he never spoke about the future. He just spoke, proclaimed the word of God. And that is what that is. It means to proclaim. Now we have the spiritual gift of this. This is what this is. And that means that if somebody would stand up and prophesy, it means they're getting something from the Lord that they need to deliver to the church. That's men and women in here. That's born again believers. That's men and women who can prophesy. Speak what God has given you on your heart to speak out. That's what that gift is. I think many of us, and we've said this before, but many of us get caught up on the one gift. We get caught up on speaking in tongues and interpretation. And we think that that is the only functioning gift that God has got in the church. And it shouldn't be that way. Paul says desire, prophecy. So brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you all a question. You've heard this now for a few weeks. We've been preaching on the gifts. Who in here is praying to be used in these gifts? Because if this ain't changing your prayer life, you're not listening. If you ain't praying, Lord, use me in these gifts because I want to be a part, I want to be a useful part of your body, your church. I want to be a useful part here. If you're not praying for these gifts and God to use you in them, then what's the problem? What is the problem? If you're saved, there shouldn't be a problem. Lord, use me in this. Give me the faith to understand. Give me the faith to be used in this. And then he goes on, he says, in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then let him serve. Now that word there, serving, it can say in some of your Bibles, like in King James, it will say ministry, or ministries. But this is different from the ministry gifts in Ephesians that Johnny done last week. So this is service. So this is a spiritual gift. Think about it. It's not like prophesying. It's not like healing. It's not like a word of knowledge. But this is serving. So that's absolutely everything then. Some people are gifted in serving. I share this with everybody. I can be talking to somebody, ministering somebody's life, and talking to somebody and going, really praying for them, they're going through an hard situation, and someone can come strolling from that door, walk over to me and say, Charles, the toilets are blocked. Charles, the toilets are blocked. So what should I do? Stop doing what I'm doing or praying for this situation to go and unblock the toilet. Brothers that or sisters, that's not the right way. That's not the right way. If that's not your job, then don't even bother. Don't come and tell somebody else. Just let somebody else discover it. Don't bother. Because your job would be to clear it. Don't announce it to everybody. To go and tell somebody else that a toilet's blocked in your ear. Sorry. Are we not one? Whose job's that then? Let's ask that question. Who's got the job in this church of unblocking toilets? Whose job is that? Go. Who sees it? Tom? Let's be honest. Whose job is it? If you can't do it, if you don't unblock them, don't use them. Save it all up and take it home.
What if locked it up? They should block it.
Might be an unsafe person though. The truth is, yes, that's the perfect world, the truth is. But do you understand what I'm saying? If it's service and I'm using the toilet because it's like an horrible job, and yes, we've had to do them jobs in here. But surely, brothers and sisters, that's all our jobs. You'd be surprised how many things get left because somebody's in ministry. Let the ministers do it. Let the ministers put the chairs out. Let the ministers unlock the doors. Let the ministers do this. There's a spiritual gift here of service. Of service. And that's not just to me. That's to everybody. The light bulb's gone. Oh, is it? Should I go to the shop and get one? Yeah, go on then. Who do I see for a receipt? It's like, who's paying for it? It's £1. Or it's a £2 light bulb. Okay, I'll pay for it. Or another brother will walk in and go, oh, it's gone last week. Oh, I bought another one, I'll fix it. Do you understand that if there's a problem or there's a need, whose job is that? That should be everybody's job. We're all a part of this same work. We're all a part of the body, are we not? We're all a part of it. And that what when Paul says this, if it's service, then let him serve. And that's a spiritual gift to this. Maybe you ain't got this gift. Maybe you're just the fault finder that finds out all the problems and tells people about it. But you're not listed here. This is not your job. You haven't got a job that's spiritual. You've just got a job that points out problems. If you want to be a part of this fellowship, a part of the work, or part of the body of Christ, then please serve. Please do the job. Please do it. You do it. I understand if somebody wants praying for, then come and find somebody. Someone wants leading to the Lord, then come and find. But do you understand that sometimes there are jobs that you think are beneath you? Do you understand that? There are some jobs that we think we are. Let somebody else sort that out. What you're saying is, let my brothers and sisters deal with that, because I don't want to. Does not God see all? Does not God see all? No. Who are you trying to impress here? You might even say, I haven't got the stomach for it. Somebody's got to do it then, haven't they? Somebody has got to do it. And I say this because the word of the Lord says, if it's in ministry, let him minister. And it means if he's in service, let him serve. Let him serve the Lord. Let him do what he can. Let the sister do what she can. Let it be for tea or coffee. Let it be for helping one another. Let it be for anything at all. But serve the Lord. Not just to sit back and let somebody else do it. Because you're just having a free ride in. It's all good. You come in. Everything's done. You're the last one in. And you're the first one out. What service are you doing? What part are you playing? What role have you got in this church? That's hard, isn't it? But is it truthful? Is what I'm saying truthful? Come on. Do you agree with that or not? Do you want to ask the question? Is there somebody else got a different opinion than that? Because this is what this says, if it's service, then let him serve. And it's a spiritual gift to serve in the things of the Lord. No matter how hard, no matter how horrible, no matter what the job is, no matter how late at night, serve. That's what that job is. If it's service, let him serve. If it is teaching, then let him teach. Now, this can revert back to the ministry gift of teaching. But I'm reminded there was a ministry team. There was Priscilla and Aquila that taught Apollos a more excellent way. It was a husband and wife duo that taught a man how to go on in the things of the Lord. A man who, Apollos, had become a good man, a good servant. But he was taught by a husband and a wife team that showed him how to go on. Brothers and sisters, we all have ability to teach. Older sisters teach the younger sisters. Somebody who's, I don't just mean old in age, I mean somebody who's been old as a Christian. Someone who's been 10 years as a Christian, and they might be 30, and somebody who is 50 and been 1 week a Christian, that 10 year, one who's been saved 10 years can teach the older one how to serve the Lord, what's to be done. Do you understand that? It doesn't mean teaching behind a pulpit and teaching to the congregation, but it can mean teaching to the individual. Brothers, this is how we go on, this is what we do, this is what the Word of God says. We're all able to do that. We all learn, haven't we? We've all learned. How many of us have done things in the past that now we no longer do? Because we've learned by our mistakes. Well, now we tell others about that. So if it's teaching, it can mean the ministry gift of teaching, which is only given in Ephesians. But it also can mean that for us here that we can teach one another. I want to tell you something, sisters. Forget the brothers for a minute, but sisters, I want to tell you something. There is no more important job than teaching your children to grow up in the things of the Lord. And that is a special gift between mothers and their children. Fathers seem to be, we do seem to be busy, and I do agree, I can teach mine, I do the best of my ability, but mothers, I know that these are busy as well, but there is a job there to be done. You can teach your children in the things of the Lord. That is a very, very good job to do. It's a very important job. In verse 8 it says, if it is encouraging, then let him encourage. Think about that. That's one of the ministry gifts. It's a ministry gift of encouragement. Do you know what it means to encourage somebody? It means to put strength into them. To bring them on. To get up beside them and say, look, don't worry about that. Come on, let's serve the Lord together. Do you know, brother, it does me good to see you being here. It does me good for you to be here and come and worship the Lord together. We can encourage one another. And what does it mean? Encouraging them on in the things of the Lord. Encouraging one another. Have you read this scripture? Do you know something? If you see somebody who's on fire for the Lord, you want to go and be next to them because they've got something to give to you. They've got something in their life that you want to receive from. So if it's encouragement, encourage one another. God bless your sisters. Good to see you here. God bless your brother. It's good having a time of encourage somebody. Do you know who would have thought of Paul at this time? Do you know if Paul would have had a phone? I think he would have found everybody in the church. He loved encouragement. He wrote letters of encouragement. He wrote letters. And I think that we could encourage one another. Maybe that is what you've got. Maybe that is a part of a ministry gift that God has given you to encourage another brother or sister. What a good thing that is. That's everybody. Every one of us can have that job. That's not a ministry job. It isn't something that I need because now I'm a pastor. This is the job that I need. Or it's a job that I'm going to fulfill. But that's every single person here. Old or young. Save people. This is a spiritual gift and it's called encouragement. To encourage somebody is a gift. What a good thing. I like that. I think that that's... I want somebody to be that person for me. That when I speak to them, they encourage me. When I speak to them, they help boost me up in the things of the Lord. That's what I would like. But I would also like to be able to do that for others. Because the Bible says that he encourages another, he himself gets encouraged. He who strengthens another, he himself gets strengthened. Brothers and sisters, encouragement is a part of the work of the Lord. It's a part of the body. Maybe you're struggling what to do. Maybe you don't know what your gifted is. Maybe not. But I tell you what you can do. You can start here, can't you? Not an amen in here. You could start here, couldn't you? Encouraging one another.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to speak about one that not a lot of people like. And it says this, if it is to give, then give generously. It talks about giving. Giving is a ministry gift. Giving is something that you can do. And you know what this giving is? Who can tell me what that giving is? That giving there is money. That's what it is. If it's giving, then give. I would love for every one of you to be really, really rich. Really rich. Because your ministry gift then would be the gift for the poor. Wouldn't it? Oh. You don't have to be really rich to give to somebody. You don't. But giving is giving. Giving something to somebody. This is what a ministry gift is in giving. And if somebody has, in the word of God, those that have always give to those that have not. I think that when Paul said this, that somebody who might not ought to think themselves too highly. You shouldn't think that your brothers and sisters are beneath you. You shouldn't think that. You shouldn't have that thought, that train of thought to think, do you know what? No, I ain't giving. I have to go to work hard for my money. I have to do this for my money. I have to do that for my money. So does everybody else, brother. But do you also pray to ask the Lord to meet your needs? And maybe he's going to meet your needs and help you to be a part of the church to give to others as well. But none of us want to think about it that way. None of us want to do that. It's a travelling man's nightmare, isn't it? We can talk about anything we want to talk about. We mentioned this. We mentioned this gift. There's a gift of giving money. We all like, yeah, that's not mine. That's not my gift. Lord hasn't blessed me with that. I'm still striving to get something else. I'm still striving to do something else. I want to tell you something. I want to encourage everybody. That if you feel that somebody is laid in your heart that you should give them something, then you should give a love gift to somebody. You should do that. And for the person who's going to have to accept it, if it's given in love and they've given you a gift, you should accept it. Not ask the question, just receive. Because sometimes receiving that gift is hard. If you're very, very low in pocket, and somebody gives you a love gift, are you too prideful to take it? Because that's true, isn't it? That can be true amongst us. Maybe God's going to meet a need in your life by another brother giving you something. Or another sister giving you something. Yes? This is what Paul is teaching the church. These are gifts to the church. And these gifts that people can give, have the pleasure of giving. Have the pleasure of providing something. Paying for something. I'll share this with you. I've shared this a few times. But we have a church in Dartford. In Dartford. I think everybody's been there. And I didn't know. We bought that church. I was there at the time. And it was off the EFIC. And the church, we bought that church for £1. It was the lowest amount of money that you can exchange for a property. We was going there for years. There was an old church there. They got old and they sort of got old and there was nobody else that was coming in. And then we used to go there and then we was packed, young people, old people. And the people that was in that congregation said, look, we can see the hand of the Lord moving here. Just let's give that church to them. And that was of the Lord, that we give £1. I think we give £70,000 to do it up, to do it how it is now. Well, with the back rooms we took out. We took a bit of a time, but we did it. But we bought the Dartford Church for £1. Now, I was in a bookstore, a second-hand Christian bookshop. That's what I was in the hall at Artley at the time. And I'm talking to the man. The man says to me, a man called Arthur, and I'm talking to this man, and I said to him, what church do you fellowship? I told him. He went, oh, Mr. Hopkins Church. I went, I don't know, it was Mr. Hopkins. Well, he said in 1970, it was before I was born, so it was 1970-ish, whenever that was. He said, Mr. Hopkins built 3 churches. I said, oh yeah. He built the one in Dartford, He built the one in Gravesend and he built one in Gravesham, I think it was. So there was three churches he built. He said, what this man did, he said, he had a wife, he said, he had a business, a good business, a building business in London. He said, and he decided, he said, him and his wife, he said his wife was a poorly woman, she was very ill. He said, and his business, and he said, they decided to tithe 90% of their money and live off 10%. That's what they decided to do. He said he had his own house, his own place. He decided to give 90% of his earnings to the work of the Lord and live on 10%. That's what he decided to do. And with that, he built the church in Dartford. That's what he built. We bought that church on account. That man is dead. That man's gone up to be with the Lord. He's left this world and he's in glory. That man's reward still carry out. That man's reward still ongoing. How many of us, when we die, will leave something that will keep going? Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? Sometimes we're a bit busy about building our kingdom, what we want. Our places for our children and our grandchildren or whatever it is we want to do. But there has to come a fault, a train of thought. And Lord, what would you have me do with my expenses? What would you have me do for you financially? How would you have me provide for the church or a brother or a sister? How would you have me give? And maybe it is to provide something. Maybe it is to give somebody a meal. Maybe a brother or sister is really struggling and can't go out that Sunday and every person in the church is off. Maybe you could provide. Maybe you have enough money to treat somebody for a meal. Maybe you could do it and let them be a part of something. Encourage them in that. Maybe you could do that. Don't be robbed by your greed. Give. Because that is a part of a ministry gifting. Giving. Do you understand? What a testimony. We say that we bought a church for a pound. We didn't. Mr. Hopkins provided that church. That was his name, Mr. Hopkins. He provided that church. His testimony lives on. He tithed 90% and built three churches. And them three churches are still... Do you know how we started that church? Just going off on one. But you know how we started it? You know the big green at the front of Dartford? Do you know that big where the school playground is? That wasn't there. That was just a big common. And how he started that church, he pulled with all his trailers and they pulled in a big circle with the trailers and put a tent up and preached the gospel. People got saved. He set up a man there who was the pastor of the church. Then he built the church, had the building, brought every one of his men out of London to build the church. They built the church and they set it up that way. Well, that's how he did it. And tent and trailers. The next lot of tent and trailer people, we moved in. What a testimony. And you see how God works. Can you not see like how the thread of the work of the Lord is? That man's generosity, he gave and the Lord provided. Do you know something? I'll tell you all this. God doesn't need not one pound coin that you've got. He doesn't. He really, really doesn't. But God chooses to use you in giving so that he can bless you. He can bless you. That's what that's about. You give, God blesses you. I'm not one of these name it and claim it preachers to say, right, you need to give £200 and the Lord's going to bless you with £1,000 this week. That might not be true. But I'll tell you what God does do. You give and watch the Lord encourage you. Watch the Lord do it. Don't be so wet up like you couldn't give a gift away. Don't be so prideful in what you've got, thinking that you've earned it. You haven't. God has given it. You might have knocked the door, but God allowed you to do it. So if it is giving, give generously. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right. If it is leading, and do diligently. Leading there, it meant that you would show another the right way. It meant that if they would lead their sheep or leading people, it meant that you held them by the hand and then you led them in a right way. That's what that word there, leading, meant. You led them in a right path. Sometimes you're going to have to encourage people singly, individually. And you're going to have to get alongside them and you're going to have to encourage them to go on in the things of the Lord. If you're going to lead them, then lead. That means lead them in a path, lead them in a right way. Stand up when there's wolves about and people that's trying to arm them, that you stand in the way and you're trying to lead them in the right paths. We do that with our children, don't we? We do that with our children. We try and lead them in the right way. So that shouldn't come as strange when we see a young, brand new Christian, and then we've got to get hold of them and try and lead them in the right way. We're leading them. If it is to show mercy, and show mercy cheerfully. If it is to show mercy. Do you know what? Mercy is something that God's given us. He has given us his mercy. That means that we're not going to get what we deserve. So we're not going to get, I'm not going to be punished for the things that I've done. God has shown me mercy. He's given me mercy. And it means to show mercy on others. Maybe there's people going to come in with all the baggage of this world. Maybe that they've done things that they are ashamed of. I want you to listen to this because it's very important. Maybe there is people that's going to come in here that hold the heaviness of sin and the enemy's got them so tightly bound that they've made mistakes in their life. Do you know what their job is? To judge them and put them out of the church. That wouldn't be true, would it? Their job would be, sorry Jim, had you there. Their job would be to show them mercy because God has shown us mercy. That's their job. Our job is to show mercy. Our job is to show mercy on people. For us as a church, when they go looking out for the homeless, go to homeless people and give them food and give them the gospel, that is showing mercy to them people. That's what that is. People that go to hospitals and visit people in hospital, and they go there and show mercy to people. You know, do you want me to pray for you? What's going on with you today? You're showing mercy to people. You're not judging them. You're not treating them at arm's distance. You're showing them mercy. And he says, if you're showing mercy, then do it cheerfully. Be happy about it. Be happy about the job. I'm happy that Christ has saved me. I am pleased that I'm not getting what I deserve, that my punishment for sin laid upon that cross at Calvary. I am happy about that. And it's my job to show others that same thing. My job isn't to tell people, yeah, you see you, mate, you're going to hell, you are. See you later. That isn't showing mercy. You know what that is? That's prideful Christian behaviour. And you know what that means? You're not even a Christian. That's what that is. If I want a Christian, you see you, mate. What's that? What is that? If you want a Christian, where would you go in? To hell. So if I was on my way to hell, mate, I'd talk you right out. What talk's that? It's stupidity. We are to show mercy to people. Show mercy to people. It's all right. Don't worry. Listen, Christ loves you. Christ cares for you. Christ wants you. He wants you to come and be a follower. He wants you to follow him. Everything that you've done in the past. But it's too much. I've done so many bad things. You know what? God can forgive you. And I'll tell you why. And I know that he can forgive you. Because he's forgiven me. That's mercy. And that's what we are to show. I'm going to finish here. But in verse 9, I just want to say this. That when he talks about In Corinthians 12, when he talks about the gifts of the Spirit there, he seems to have a pause in the middle. He does chapter 12 about the gifts, he does chapter 13 about love, and he does chapter 14 about speaking in tongues, about the gifts again. So he has, Paul writes this, he goes, there's the gifts, you need love to perform them, there's the gifts again. And when it comes to this one, he tells us, this is now your act of Christianity. This is how you now live, not with the pattern of this world, but the transforming of your mind. And then he sets out a list. He sets out a list, and then he goes into verse 9. He says, but love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. And then he goes on to talk about love. Love one another. Care for one another. Let me tell you something. The ministry gifts are sprung out of love. They're all about love. It's all about loving one another and doing the best for somebody else as well. When you're using the gift of prophecy, it's not for you. When you're doing the gift of healing, it's not for you. When it's the gift of words of knowledge, it's not for you. It's always for others. The gifts are for others. These gifts here of giving, it isn't given to you, it's given to others. When it's the gift of serving, it's serving others. We have to understand, if we haven't got love for others, we won't want these gifts. You cannot do it that way. Love must be sincere. It must mean that, Lord, I love my brothers and sisters. I want to see the best for my brothers and sisters. So let me be a part so that I can serve. Whether it is prophecy, whether it is giving, whether it is encouraging, whether it is teaching, whatever the gift is that you've given me, let the focus, let the main reason why I want to do it is because I love my brothers and sisters. Love is the key to all this. When he talks about serving in the church, it's about love. When we want to make it about us, we get very prideful. We get very hurt very quick. He never seen what I did there. She never seen what I did there. What do you want recognition for? You're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for your love for your brothers and sisters. Is there any